Welcome to Land Academy. This is the Cash Flow from Land Show, where we show you how to buy unwanted vacant land and sell it for more on the internet. I'm Steve Butella.
I'm Jill DeWitt.
We are your hosts. With over 15,000 completed transactions, we are the experts in this niche land flipping business.
Whether you are looking to buy your dream property for half price, start your own real estate business, or create a passive income so you can enjoy the lifestyle you've always dreamed about, you have found the right place.
By the way, we hold a drawing for a free property every single month. Enter to win the land by rating this show on iTunes and downloading our free ebook at landacademy.com.
All right, let's get this thing started.
Yeah, so I've been working on this deal for, I don't know, almost a year. And I don't exactly remember when it started, but I figured I'd share it with everybody. It just came to me when we were planning for this call. And I hope that you guys are fortunate enough to run across something like this. And if you do, let us know if we can, you know, help out with financing. But I've been working on this 11,000 acre transaction. So here's the deal. This guy, it's in Arizona. This guy is older and he... this is kind of his hobby. He's just been accumulating property whenever it's super cheap. So he wants to sell it all now. It's like 9,000 lots. But the reason that I brought this up from an educational standpoint is that he and I have been negotiating the deal. We're probably $100 an acre off, but we've been negotiating the deal on a per acre basis. And I wanted to bring this up. So a lot of the properties that he owns are acreage properties, let's say 40 acres. So we'll end up, if it's $100 an acre, we'll end up spending $4,000 an acre. But he has a tremendous amount of property that's like a quarter acre. And then, so when you really do the math on that, those properties end up being $25 a lot, which we can sell for probably, you know, at least $1,000 or maybe $1,500 even on eBay. So my point is this. It's great when you have multi-unit deals, and they're all different sizes. Make sure you negotiate on a per acreage basis, because the smaller properties, you really win. You can make up a lot of volume, or make up a lot of get a lot of traction from the smaller lots. So if that happens, I mean, it's millions and millions of dollars, but you know, in net margin, I'll keep everybody posted on it. We'll see what happens.
You know what you said something about? Can I just chime in there, Stephen, if it's okay?
Yeah.
You said something about doing deals together. I just wanted to say that one of my success stories this week has been the number of members coming to me with some good potential deals for us to do together. And I wanted to say thank you, great, keep them coming. So I have seen that's a little success for me, I think, and for all of us. I've got people reaching out to me saying, hey, I'm in the works of negotiating X with this guy. Do you think you've got something kind of, you know, with land stay, you know, do you think you have something that would meet this guy's criteria? And so we've been kind of starting some dialogue going back and forth like that. And I love it. This is great. Cause all this is doing is, you know, we could all win, you know, I'll help supply whatever the person needs. You know, the member brought the deal, you know, to me, to us, and we're just going to split the profit and they didn't have to outlay any cash.
Yeah, so Jill, I'm going to give a real example of that. Okay.
Okay.
Let's say you find a property for a 40 acre property for $4,000. This is all just for sake of argument. And you don't have the $4,000, or maybe you have it, but you don't want to spend it. That happens all the time in real estate. You know, people run around in real estate deals bragging about the fact that they never put a dollar of their own money in it. For some reason, in large commercial deals, and I don't know where they learn this, they just, it's a big trophy. You get a trophy if you don't put any money in, which I don't understand, but whatever. And so if you find a property for $4,000, a 40 acre property, and you know it's sellable, you can liquidate those really quickly. Call us and let us know, and we'll go in on it with you. Maybe we even purchase the whole thing. And then you sell it, or we'll sell it, or we'll work it out. And let's say you sell it on terms for $200 a month. You keep 100, we keep 100, and it ends up being a 25% return for each of us. So those kinds of things can work out really well. We don't. I call it "don't let a good acquisition go to waste" kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Love it. Thank you. That's a great example.
Paint your nails again, Joe.
I am not. No, I'm excited. I was reading ahead and I have your notes here about you have some great success stories from members that you were going to share with us.
Oh, yeah, right. Let's see. You know, I just pulled this off the front of Success Plant. Luke Smith is, you know, it seems like he's doing deals right on schedule. Good for him. And then I exchanged a couple of notes with Mike Dugan, and I asked Mike to be have his mic ready on this call because I want to hear all about this. So, Mike, can you tell us about what's going on? It seems like you're having a lot of success to me. I love 5-acre properties. They're my favorite.
Sure. Am I unmuted?
Yes, I can hear you great.
All right, great. Well, hey, everyone. How's everyone doing?
Excellent.
Thank you. Great.
Yeah, so my story is I got the training DVDs, I think, maybe August, right before I hit a busy season. So I kind of put them on the shelf for a little bit till I got through into September. I think I listened, went through them all once, and ended up finding a county in Colorado that I really liked. And, you know, this website actually had all the information free. And I found it by calling the treasurer, I believe it was. And I was asking if I could get or buy a list of the data we need. And she said, well, if you let me show you, if you go to the site, I'll walk you through how you can get it yourself. So she took me to this very unintuitive, you know, link that you would not think would give you data. And it had all the same kind of search and filter criteria for her county as, you know, are demonstrated like on the Agent Pro 24/7 and the, you know, the other national tools. So I was able to get land only, 5 acres only, sold 2 or 3 years purchased in the last 2 or 3 years or older. Everything I wanted, I was able to get for free, which was great just by asking. So that was a big plus for this county. So I sent the mailing out and I went and did a 2000 unit mailer and I used letterprinting.net, I think is the site. And I did the handwritten font with my personal name and address up in the left corner. And then the property owner's name in the middle. I did write out of the box. I did the cover page type letter of, hey, this is who I am and what I'm doing. And then the offer on the second page. And I used standard mail instead of first class, which was, that was a new experience for me. And I think I did everything. Go ahead.
What was the experience there with standard mail?
I was very happy with the service I got. They walked me through my options and they actually did some data file cleanup for me as well.
Wow.
And I had to pay a little bit for it, but not much. And so they were very helpful and they do the merge on their site. You give them your template and kind of point to your fields, and they have worked with merges enough that they handle it and they send you back a proof for you to say, yeah, this is how it's supposed to lay out before you push the button and send all 2000. So I went ahead and did that, and it seemed like there was about 2 weeks of dead silence because I didn't understand that standard mail really, you know, takes the 2 or 3 weeks that they say it will. So it was probably 2 weeks, 20 days or something in there, I started to get responses.
So did you worry though? Like during that 2 weeks?
Yeah, I did. I wondered, did I, you know, use the right postage? Did I get the right list? You know, I did start to worry. And one thing I thought of doing, which I think I will do with future mailings, is I'm going to add myself as a record into the mail merge. And that way I will get a letter. And because for quite a while too, I was curious what this font actually looked like in somebody's hand, you know, the mail they get. And I know what it is now because I got a, you know, handful of rejected letters. So I know, but I thought, you know, I should mail one to myself just as proof these are actually getting out. So I think I'll start doing that in the bigger mailings just to make myself feel a little more comfortable. But yeah,
yes, right. I should have put that in the package. That's an excellent suggestion.
Yeah, just because I'd never seen, I've seen that kind of mail come to me from other people, but, you know, I didn't pay attention. But, you know, now that it's my piece of mail, I want to really look at it. the one thing I did that I don't think anyone told me to do or that I read anywhere, but it just sounded kind of right, was they had an option between the normal kind of cheap, lowest end paper you can get or a little heavier 27 pound paper. Mm-hmm. And so I paid the $20 extra, and that's one of the reasons I wanted to get the letter. And it just feels a little weightier in somebody's hand, I think. It just feels like a legal document or something. So I splurged $20 to go up from 18 pound paper to 27 pound. I have no proof that it made a difference or not, but it just seems like a pretty reasonable thing to do.
Right.
So starting about week three, I started to get stuff back, and over 2 to 3 weeks, it just kind of came in waves as far as response. It seems like it kind of spread out over the country. I started getting the Arizona, Colorado stuff first, and then the Midwest, and then the East Coast. So it's like all that mail was kind of being delivered, at farther as it went out, took longer to get back to me. And so I started getting faxes back. I got some emails back. I've got stuff in my P.O. box. And I might have had one or two people go to the website and then use my submission form to contact me. So basically every means of communication that, we're taught to make available to people, people did use to get hold of me. So
mm-hmm. Awesome.
So, and I'm pretty sure, the fax was a big one. It was surprising just to, get a fax and see a signed deal. That was great. Mm-hmm. And
without revealing the exact location or anything like that, what are the, just the basic economic terms? I love when they sign those things and send them back. And apparently the mail was too slow for them, so they had to use a fax because they want their money.
And I actually don't mind. I thought about how much I want to share, but I did 5-acre parcels in Park County, Colorado.
Yeah.
And the reason I wasn't afraid to say it is because I mailed every one of them. There were just about 2,000 of them. So if anyone else wants to mail them, you're probably going to have lousy success because I've already, just hit them and got the low-hanging fruit. So, if you want to go lower or go higher, great. But the 5-acre ones are probably going to be a bust for a while, I think, because I got them.
I had this exact issue. Let me tell you what happened. It's a real short story. Yeah. I had a competitor find out where we were mailing stuff, exactly just like what you said, and he would send letters out 2 weeks right after us because we got them all softened up, and then he would just take our leftovers.
A
lot of years ago. This guy's not in business anymore, but thanks for softening everybody up in Park County for 5-acre properties, man.
Yes.
I know what I'm doing next week.
what were we talking? Oh, the terms. So in my research, it seemed like the bargain basement guy on eBay was selling these things for $4,000, roughly, maybe a hair more or less. But that was like the bargain basement price. When I saw people selling them on LandWatch, I saw anywhere from $5,000 to $12,000, depending on different attributes and I think just how much they think they could get on their terms. When I did my research on, where was the other place? eBay. I looked at past sales there. And so really the bottom line was about $4,000 cash for like the cheapest stuff going. And then it went up as you got better. And so I took that number and I went in and looked at the assessed values and things like that that come from this county. And the assessed value, it may have the column wrong, but it was very close to what these were selling for. And the actual tax value was very close to 25% or so. So somewhere I came up with this weird number of 1121.21, so $1,121.21. And that I had actually had two or three people ask me, where did I get this number? Some of the people that sold me their property. And it really was just taking this one column and doing a pure calculation against it. And that's what it came up to. And so that's what all the letters went out as, that 1121.21. So all of these were picked up as far as land part of the cost at $1,120, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And so I know I can go on eBay and probably sell them, you know, 2 to 3 times their money very quickly for cash, a lot better for terms. So my goal here is I actually got overwhelmed with the response. I was not expecting as much response because these are
fantastic.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so these are the 10 I bought, but I had to weed through 30 of them, you know, to get there. So I had to go on online and check taxes, and I had to check where they were at visually and, you know, do some of that preliminary stuff. And so it just, you know, besides my other day job, that just kept me from even thinking about marketing. So my plan is I've got all 10 of these deeds are on their way back. And one of them actually was a, you know, that question we're told to ask, hey, do you have more than one? Produced one lady who sold me 4. So
and I'm like jumping up and down right now, Mike. This is such good stuff.
Yeah. And the cool thing about that one is she threw in one that's a much better property than all the other ones. I think that one I've seen selling for cash in a similar neighborhood because it has utilities, it has houses built on it. I think that could be a $15,000 property once I dig into it a little more.
Yeah.
So it's beyond the rest of them. So, but again, asking that question is what produced it. So
you have 20 deals that you're not going to buy?
I have 20 deals. A few of them have legal things that I just didn't want to take time to dig into, like, hey, my mom died.
Yeah.
And how do I sell you the property? I have one or two that are, or no, there's a guy that has 3 of them that he wants to do 3, 4, 5,000, and I'm going to let him sit and I'll come back and I'll wait a few weeks and I'll probably pick those up maybe a little higher than 1121, but I'll pick those up sometime here in the next month, I think, after I sell a couple of these and add those in. And again, one of those is one of those better ones, so I don't mind paying a little bit more because it's in a kind of developed area where there's people are paying more, it appears, from what I can see. So 10 of them were just, I can't do it because there's, you know, one guy can't get his brother to sign and they're, you know, they're on it together. So until he rounds his brother up, you know, I can't do anything. So it's that kind of stuff. It's not that I don't want or wouldn't have. It's just they have more work to them and I wanted to pick the low-hanging fruit first, especially starting out.
That's great.
So
you know, I don't think that the response is over, you know.
I don't either, no.
Okay, no. Good.
Yeah, I think, you know, as we're taught, that'll keep coming in. Today I got an email from somebody saying, hey, we're not wanting to sell now, but thanks for your interest. And so I got a lot of faxes and responses where people, you know, crossed out my number, wrote their number in. And so you know, I'll save those and revisit those in, you know, a couple months or whenever I clear through all the, you know, the easy stuff. So yeah, I think it's going to be a gift that keeps on giving here. And, but again, it really was overwhelming. And so I'm looking forward to getting this first chunk of 10 in my hands, sent off to record, and then putting on my marketing sales hat and working that a little bit. And then my plan is once I sell enough where I've recouped kind of my cost into this stuff, I'll probably send out another mailing and I'll probably scale up in the same county to 10, 20 or 40 acres, maybe do just 1,000 mailer with the idea that probably the response will be a little lower on the bigger properties, but you know, there'll be more meat on the bones. So, you know, I can work those a little more leisurely or whatever as I'm finishing up this first group. So I've got a little bit of a strategy, but.
All right. So you're clearly no stranger to math. If you sold them all for cash, how much money would you net?
If I do everything wrong and just botch it, I think I can make $1,000 each without even thinking. So I can make 10,000, you know, in a week. I know. My goal is I'm going to try. If I do them all cash and I haven't
figured out whether I want to do that yet or not, especially on the two nicer ones that I have. Those I might do terms and try to get as much as I can. But I think I can get 2,000 to 2,500 out of the eight kind of bread and butter 5-acre stuff, and then maybe 5,000 to 8,000 cash out of the other two each. So my goal is, if I break $20,000 cash, if I do them all, I'll be happy. And again, if I keep a couple, that'll go down. But I think with work and being patient and doing all the postlets and the eBay and the Craigslist, if I just take the time to do it and review the material, I think I can break 20, 22,000 without too big an effort.
You sound very calm for a guy that's going to make 25,000 bucks for about 10 hours of work.
Yeah. No, it's, I think it's because I'm exhausted from it all. it is a very nice chunk of money. And again, if I have time to slow down and think about it, it'll be great. And
that's great, man.
Well done.
We're all proud of you. That's just, I love it.
Yeah.
I'm sure Claire is dying to know if anybody called you and really just gave you the business for undervaluing their multi-million-dollar land.
I played a few for my wife, actually. She got a kick out of some of the responses. There were, nasty letters sent back. When you're serious about an offer, let me know. You've got to be joking. Maybe per acre, that's the price. Because some of this stuff, people back in, 20 years ago, they paid $15,000, $25,000 for. Mm-hmm. And that's not what it goes for now. And they know it, but they're just, they're probably mad about the fact they lost money and taking it out on the guys. So, I got plenty of those. Some polite counteroffers, but a lot of people really, like the material tells us, is that there are a lot of people that you really are solving a problem. An old lady who's trying to just clear out a trust, a kid that's got property doesn't know what they want to do with, somebody who's paying taxes every year on something he's never going to see again, it solves his problem. So really, everybody is really happy that I've talked to, and I'm, thanking me. And so it really is a nice experience. Nobody is like, you got me over the barrel, but I'll sell it. It's anyway, they feel like they're being nice.
Did anything really surprise you?
Just, again, the response. And again, I sent out 2,000 because I wanted a big response, so it shouldn't surprise me. But I just tried to do it as much as I could by the book and not interject any of my own thought. Because some of the natural things that I think about are, I would never buy that property, so maybe I'll work a different county. And I just did it according to the way, the early DVD said, which is, look for the population, look for the density, see how the sales are going. Are there a good number of transactions going on? And I found six counties that filtered to the top of the list, and there was one county I really kind of fell in love with, just by the pictures or something, but it was down the list. And even though it was drawing me, it didn't have the support that Park County had. So I made myself do it by the book, which now I'm glad I did it. So I'm just trying to work the system as much as I can as it's outlined, and not try to be too creative or, tweak it too much. I'm just going to do it as much as I can the way it's been outlined.
Yeah, I mean, Park County is, Breckenridge and Aspen and all the, and it's like, I think southwest of Denver, right? Just a few miles.
Yeah, I'd have to draw it out. I'm not that familiar with it yet, but land guys advertise it as being by Breckenridge.
Yeah, I think, the other thing, sales.
We have one person, I'm sorry, Stephen, we have someone that's on a cell phone, and we're having a hard time hearing each other because we're not all muted. So whoever's on a cell phone, just please make sure that you're mute or something. We just keep picking up on some background noise there and talking. Okay.
Yeah, sorry about that. Thanks, Stephen. The microphone should be in the upper left-hand corner. It should be red if it's off.
I think that did it. Thanks.
I wonder what was I saying?
Go ahead, Steven. I'm so sorry. Park City.
Say something about Park County.
Park County.
Oh, I've been accused of not talking about or celebrating sales enough, you know, and only concentrating on acquisitions. But, and this is a perfect example of why. I mean, you chose the right county. You did everything right, every single thing. There's not going to be, you're not even going to be shocked when you sell these. You made mm-hmm. sure in all the places on the internet that you did all your homework long before you ever sent the mailer out. So, you know, you're not going to be, I'm sure, surprised either when you sell these properties. You're probably going to be surprised at how fast they sell, but, you know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I would, you know what, if I got 10 properties and I was new at this, I would try some different stuff. I would take maybe one of them, no joke, and I would call a realtor and say, you know what, I want to put this in the MLS just for as much as you think we can get, just to see if someone buys it. You know, maybe offer seller financing on it or something. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, here's one thing I did is per the material, I found a photographer who has taken great pictures of these properties for me. And he, $50, he goes out and he really goes above and beyond. He tells me about the area. He gives me, you know, hints about the area or knowledge about the area since I'm not from there. But the other thing he's doing on these two nicer properties that probably will sell for much more, he's going to go pick up for sale by owner signs with, you know, call for cash or land contract terms with my name and phone number and put them in the ground. So that's kind of a thing that I'm going to try just to see if the neighbors are interested. It's kind of a variation of the neighbor letter, you know, people that live around there just to see if anyone is looking to add to their parcel or get a friend to move by him or whatever.
I love it.
But yeah, I'm going to do that. I will call a realtor as well. And I've already talked to one actually on the two better properties.
So did you, you got somebody to take pictures. You did everything right. I'm struggling for anything to suggest. Do all of them have access?
All of them have some access. There's two of them that are way, way out in either South Park Ranch or the states of Colorado, and they have the roads that were created way back when, and there is like no neighbor anywhere, so you see the tracks of the road, but you'd have to be a four-wheel, you know, guy to get there in any kind of weather. The rest all have good access, but
yeah, don't be shocked if those sell first, because
our
customer base, there's a lot of people who are seeking that out. They just, they've kind of had it with the world and they want to live there.
These are definitely the two. It's like my photographer said, man, a lot of the other ones have trailers or ranches by them. He said, there is nobody around these lots. I mean, like nobody. Yeah. It'll be perfect for somebody, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm. Somebody's going to love those. And it's a nice size. That's perfect.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think I posted it in my, in the success plant, but one of the things I had to do is my wife gets a little nervous and I get a little nervous sometimes about real estate because we got into like single family rentals and stuff years ago and it didn't turn out that well. So when I started to get back into looking at something related to real estate, you know, it made her a little nervous. And to a lot of people that I've talked about this whole idea of land selling or land flipping or, you know, the different terms we call it, you know, is very new to them and they never heard of it. And my wife was a little nervous about it. And to kind of prove to her that it was a real thing, I bought an 11th property. So this was like my first one. So these 10 are in addition to the first one. So there really are 11 total. And again, I bought it for $1,121, but just to show her how quick you could do it, I put a price of like $1,850 or something on it and just, you know, made $500 or $600 quick bucks on it and sold it and got PayPal paid for it before I even had the deed back. And so that kind of reassured her that it's a real deal, kind of reinforced with me it's a real thing. So I know, like I said, if I did everything wrong, I know I can liquidate and make $5,000 to $10,000 without even batting an eye, but I'm going to be shooting up into the 20s for sure. But just in case anyone else has that kind of issue with a spouse or a relative, you know, it's something I did just to kind of reassure mine that it's a real deal and it really works.
So, you know, in the $10,000 a month for life model, you're 11 property, you know, you need to do 100 properties at $100 a month.
Yes.
And you just did 11. And how long? When did you buy the package?
Well, I bought it in August. but I don't think I started going through it till September again, because I had a little busy season end of August. And
so if you did this every month, you'd be making $10,000 a month.
Yeah.
In a year.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. On the way.
Boy, good job. Thank you.
Great.
Hey, Jerry, who else? Oh, Charlie had something he wanted to share with us too. We have 25 minutes left here, and I hate to cut this short because I love all this. It's so good, but I want to get some more stories in here and talk about a few more things while we're all together. So thank you again. That was awesome, Mike. I love hearing all that. So Charlie, did you want to type it in, or do you have something you wanted to share?
Jill, can you hear me?
Yeah, I sure can.
Yes, very well.
Hey, I just wanted to say, Mike, thanks for sharing that. That's awesome. Congratulations. I've been a real estate broker with my own business in Colorado for 20 years. And I'd always heard some things about installment land contracts, and I just didn't know what it was. Steve, let me ask you, do you know anything about installment land contracts in Colorado?
Yeah, well, state specifically, no, but I know that the word land contract, this came up a couple of days ago, the word land contract there's a word for terms, there's regional words for all this stuff that we do, and the term land contract is just selling on terms. So I know that in a few states, there's a couple of, they have some specific rules that are a little bit different, but in general, they're pretty easy to do.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me share with you what I found out. You might be surprised. If you do an installment land contract, it says right here that the contract must name a public trustee of the county where the property is located to be the escrow agent to collect taxes and pay them to the county treasurer each year. And the seller must file notice of transfer with the county treasurer. And seller must also file a real property transfer declaration with the county assessor. And if you don't do that, the buyer has 7 years to cancel the contract and get all the payments back.
So is this the only way that you can sell land on terms? Because Arizona
the only other way to do it is to pass title. To do a general warranty deed or a special warranty deed, go through a title company.
Okay, I mean, Arizona has a rule like that too, but it's not the only way that you can sell property. You can, if everybody agrees and all these sellers always agree, you know, you just do a contract and that's it. So,
I just think it's key that we know that something like that, because that's pretty critical.
Sure. That's good information, man. I appreciate it.
Yeah, that was good.
Well, I was kind of surprised because I wondered how come I'd never heard of it, because very few people do installment land contracts there in Colorado. And I know that it had been discouraged in our training, but I'm trying to put all that behind me and keep going. And Mike, that Park County is an excellent county to be working in. And there's also something in Colorado about water, the water wells, and the size of the property. If you want to touch bases with me on the forum or something, I'll be glad to share it with everybody.
Yeah, that'd be great. If you want to throw it on the success plan where everybody can see it, that'd be great.
Mm-hmm. Sure, okay. Sure. Absolutely.
Thank you, Charlie.
That's okay. Good information.
That's all I had to say.
Thank you. Okay, so now I want to get on to, you know what I love? More than half of the show, by the way, of our call has been success to stuff. So that's the way it should be, right? If it's the, yeah. Like you like that, Stephen, 75% yeah. Success, you know, a few little questions, yay, good stuff. So burning questions of the week. I wanted to talk about that real quick. I had one that came up, and Chris and I have been communicating, and I don't know, he's not here on the call with me, but just a little thing that came up I was going to share with everyone. He had an auction close. He put the property that he got on from us on eBay, and it closed last Sunday. Everything's great. There was a little bidding frenzy, and at the end, it was something funky, and whoever the bidder was, they kind of fell off the planet kind of thing. So Chris reached out to me. I said, you know what? Here's what you do. It really is a no big deal thing. I said, you know, and this does happen in every business sometimes. So, you know, I said, give eBay a quick call to explain what happened and they'll take care of you. And it was in within an hour. I got an email back saying, you know what, Jill, you're right. I took care of it. They refunded my insertion fee. Yeah. I'm going to relist it on this Sunday or Friday, I mean, and then move on. No big deal. Thanks very much. So it's a little, Steve and I talk about little speed bumps and little things, and this is one of those little things. And right now when you don't have a lot of property, it may seem like a big thing, but when you're dealing with 50 properties, it really is a little thing. So not a big deal. Like I said, it happens in, you know, every business has a little something. We talked about some funny stuff today on a podcast with a guy and just about this, you know, power through little speed bumps, and that's it. So that was my little question. And did you have anything, Stephen?
I planned for it. So I figure years ago it was a lot smaller, but I think it's about 10%. 10% of the properties you're going to sell on, here's a few ways that you can really minimize that. Make sure that almost all of the people that don't pay on eBay have a very, very low rating, 0, 1, 2, or 3. And I think that's what happened to, who was it, Joe? What's the name of this, our customer that
happened to? Oh, this was Chris.
Yeah, so I think Chris even put this on whatever correspondence that we sent. I think it was I don't know if it was a success plan or not, but, you know, the person had a zero. They bid right at the last minute, mm-hmm. and they had a zero rating, you know, mm-hmm. which a zero, the rating on eBay is, I'm sure you all know, it's how many transactions you've completed. So a zero, I mean, if what Jill does or what we've done in the past, what our people do now is try to make contact about a day before, some type of correspondence if there's a super low rating. If they don't respond, you can cancel their bid, and that's what I would suggest. I also would put some stuff in the text that says if you have a zero or a one or a two or a low rating to bid on this thing, you got to contact me. And so this is all ways to reduce it, but all that. You know, the fact is you just got to budget for it. Just the same way you budget for a vacancy rate in an apartment building, it's not always 100% occupied. You're not going to sell the stuff 100% of the time. So if you just plan for about 10%, I think it's going to be fine.
Mm-hmm. Well, you are going to sell it, just when. Right?
Right.
So, yep. Thank you, Stephen. Did you want to add any other burning questions that kind of went across your desk that you wanted to cover this week?
I think, you know, I saw Claire had a bad day. I'd like, if she's got her microphone on, I'd like to hear about it since it's 75%. She had some angry callers.
Hey guys, yeah, it's me.
Boy. Hi Claire.
Hi. okay, so I'm developing a thicker skin. And it's been hard, but yep, I'm just working my way through it. I have a good news thing. So one of the properties, or I finally got a response back that was positive from somebody who wants to sell, and it seems pretty legit. So,
yay.
What's the deal, wonderful. Claire?
The deal?
Well, without telling us where it is, if you don't want to.
Sure. No, you know, it's a 4-acre property for $410.
Wow.
That's great. That's
who cares where it is?
That's a Jill deal.
I think that might be why they're also mad at me, is because that was my offer. So yeah,
that's fantastic. We're gonna have a new contest.
I'm sorry, Jill, go ahead.
No, go ahead. You do it, and I have my idea.
I generally don't. I bought them out at $500. So when I do the data run, I don't usually send out letters for less than $500, regardless of the size or the lot or the location or anything.
Mm-hmm.
So that.
Okay, so that's good to know, because boy, were they mad at me.
Gosh, this is funny. No, I'm just thinking we should have a little thing, you know, how low can you go? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, Claire's making me look like, you know, like, nice work.
Well, we'll see. We'll see. I don't think I can take it. You know, the F-bombs and I'm a crook and all that stuff. It's just kind of rough.
That's funny. Oh my goodness, you did great. It's all good, and you'll find your balance and everything. So, you're doing great.
Thanks. Yay!
All right. So I want to go on to the next thing. We have an update here on Success Plant. We are transitioning to making it part of a monthly membership service as well as this weekly call. Nothing is going to change to anyone right now involved in this call and what's going on in Success Plant. So nobody worry. There's no current change for anyone. So I just want you to know that when you log in to Success Plant sometime in the next days, weeks, you might see the front page might change, just some appearance changes, and you just have to log in and stuff. So that's all. Just want to let everybody know stuff that's coming up. So you will be in the loop. Stephen had a note too. Please, he would love it if you don't have a photo or something in Success Plant, but even if you want to, what did you say, Stephen?
Hey, take a picture of your cat and put it in there. Or something.
That's funny. So yeah, so if we could.
Or a piece of land.
Hey, that's a good idea. I just bought this, you know, picture of some land. That's a great idea. So we'd love to make it a little more colorful. So that's our update there with Success Plant. And I guess the next thing is Q&A time. So now it's we have just under 15 minutes. We have Q&A. I see, Aaron, are you communicating with? Okay, thank you. About the calls, our producer, Aaron, is in charge of the call recordings. Do we have any other? Claire said, is it okay to property with to buy a quick claim deed for 2002?
Oh, from 2002, yeah.
From 2002.
Yes, it is. Mm-hmm. Just do all the regular stuff that I say in the program. Make sure call a county, I think there's three things I said to do. Call a county recorder. I would definitely check. I think Claire's all hooked up on CoreLogic.
CoreLogic.
So if everything ties, is it a single person? Or is it a company? Or what is it? If it's just an individual person
Perfect.
I think she says yes, it's a single person. So yeah, I would feel comfortable doing that, especially if it's $400.
Right. Yeah, exactly. You know what? That's one thing that's a good point, Stephen, that you talked about. I do all my homework, and on some of those deals, if I'm a little worried about it, then depending how much the transaction is, I budgeted for it. And if I did it all wrong and something weird was about it, that's okay. I just made $8,000 over here. I can afford to let this one go, you know, kind of thing, if anything really weird was going on. But yes.
I should never say this out loud. I'm going to knock on wood while I'm saying it and preface it by saying I shouldn't say it out loud. In the 15 or 16,000 now deals that we've done, I've never had a problem with title or ownership or anybody coming back and saying, you know, we've done a few refunds, but I've never had an issue. So
you're right. You are right. All right. I think Steve from Queens is our thing here. Do you ever send offers out of a cash price and an option price? The answer is no. We are only sending a cash price offer. I don't want to pay someone payments for their property. I'm buying it outright on my terms at what I'm doing. Is that the question?
I think what he's asking, Steve, is do you offer, if it's a cash price is $500, let's say, Or we can pay $1,000 after we sell the deal on an option like we teach in the program.
Oh, excuse me.
And the answer is, and here's my answer. you know, I don't think that the people that are signing the stuff and sending it back or responding to it want to sell it. They're not selling on price. So, no, I wouldn't. Plus, I think it's confusing. You know, I think just to get the deal done.
Yeah, I think that it would kind of send the wrong message. It's like, okay, you only have $500 now, but if I wait 6 months, you'll give me $1,000. Well, then I'll wait. instead of look, yeah, this is the deal. So I'm pretty much, I make an offer, I make a good offer, I might negotiate a little bit, and then I just let it go. And then if they really want to sell, they'll come back. And otherwise I've moved on and I found 6 other offers.
Yeah.
You know, or like Mike, he just bought 10. You know, 10 out of 30 good ones. Yeah, I heard 30 good ones that he sorted through and picked out the 10 he liked. So he's got 20 more sitting there, like I do, on my spreadsheet that I could come back to any moment. By the way, I haven't even looked at another county, you know, kind of thing. So, good stuff.
I'm trying to think about what he can do with those other 20 properties that he doesn't want or is not going to close. And it's going to, by the next 2 weeks, it's probably going to be 30 properties.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, how if he can make some money on that by posting them on Success Plant if somebody else wants them, you know?
That's not a bad idea.
If anybody has a good idea about that, like, hey, I'll do the deal for $1,000 in Park County. Because frankly, I would do this, you know, we would do this, Jill. A nice 5-acre property in Park County. You know, I know exactly who would buy those from us right now and sell them on terms.
Maybe the question should have been, Mike, do you need money to buy? Do you need an extra? Maybe that's what we should have said. Mike, you only bought 10, and the other 20 are pretty good. How much cash do you need? Let's talk. So, all right, Mike. Just
You should sell. This is what I would do if I was Mike.
Yeah.
I would say, all right, these people want to sell for $1,100. I know they're worth $2,500 or $3,000 cash. Mm-hmm. You know what you should do, Mike, is option all those.
Mm-hmm.
And then market them all at the same time. Mm-hmm. That's what you should do, Jill.
Mm-hmm. We have a lot of great ideas. Mm-hmm. That's the funny thing. You know, I've been in that situation, Mike, too, is, gosh, I wish I could buy. I wish I had time to, you know, and the resources to buy every single thing that I have on my list right now, you know, but mm-hmm. I just pick and choose. I've got enough on my plate, and it's a great problem to have. But my assistant's looking at me like, you mean, oh, I thought you were saying you were going to give those to me. Yeah. So.
No, I would call those 20 people back or however many they are. And I would say, yes, I'm absolutely, we're going to do the deal. I just can't do it right now because I've got several, many, many, many properties in the pipeline before you, mm-hmm. and I'm just one guy here, you know, one man shop, and we will purchase them, but it's just not going to be right now. So I'm going to send you this option agreement because we can get it done right now together, and then you know, you can fill in the rest.
Mm-hmm. Perfect.
Unless there's legitimate issues that you know, Jill comes up with, if it's a great piece of property and one brother wants to sell it and one doesn't, Jill gets the phone number of the other brother who doesn't want to sell it. And then she just talks him to death until he says yes. So there's stuff that can happen that way. You know, I mean, there's a lot of things you can do to kind of loosen them up, I guess.
That's kind of true. I've actually had that call this week. I was calling a seller back, and the husband answered the phone, and it's like I said, hi, I'm looking for Susie. She's helping Aunt Donna with her land transactions. Like, oh, okay, hold on. You know, I know that much. And they're all kind of laughing. Hi, Bill. So.
A lot of years ago, this is a funny story about Jill. A lot of years ago, I walked into the office, and she was on the phone with a guy that was trying to send a wire transfer to buy some property. And it was taking a long time, longer than Jill had patience for. So she said, hand the phone to the teller. And so he did. He handed the phone to the teller, and she and this guy's bank teller did the wire transfer together. That's the kind of stuff that goes on.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a good one. I won't forget that one. He was like literally on the phone with me the whole time. I mean, we're just going to do this right now. You know, and he drove all the way to the bank and was standing there at the teller. We had a number off and we got it done. That was really good.
I remember, right, that guy was like from the deep south, and everything's really much slower.
It was. Yeah,
or
he was.
Or something. I don't know.
Yeah, that was really funny. We had another employee in our office at the time that his jaw was on the desk the whole time this was happening, going, I can't believe you just got that guy to pay. And what just happened? It was so funny. So that was great. All right. Just to clarify, was Mike's expected cash net profit, if all sold for cash, in the $20,000 to $25,000 range? I missed that part of the discussion. I think Mike Dugan is still here. Mike can type in. He said yes, net profit.
That's if he sells for cash and takes his time. Mm-hmm. You know, 5 acres, for the record. There's a reason that I used 5 acres in the program as an example. The margins on 5 acres, in my opinion, are the best in all of this. Mm-hmm. You know, you have to do everything wrong to sell a property for $2,000 or $3,000 that's got good access in Colorado. I think they're probably mm-hmm. worth closer to $5,000. Mm-hmm. And when you're in a situation like Mike is, I think, I think I would take a couple and sell them for 5 or 8, take one, you know, and actually he said he's going to do that. It's just split it all up and, it's going to take one sale could recoup the one or two sales are going to recoup the whole cost of the acquisition.
Mm-hmm. I love it. All right. We have just maybe enough time for maybe one more. It's a little before 5 and I have a Madonna concert to go to tonight.
You're going to see Madonna?
Yeah. By the way, I'm going to see Madonna tonight. I am so darn excited. Has anyone seen the tour yet? So.
We're dating ourselves.
No, hey.
Glenn doesn't even know who Madonna is.
Claire better know who Madonna is.
Jesus. That's awesome.
Oh, I love it.
Oh, my God.
Oh, wait a minute.
It's like a virgin, Bill. That's the title of this one, Like a Virgin.
Yep. All right. Thank you, Jeff. That is the title of the call. Oh, Erin is a lot younger than all of us, everyone, and her face is so red right now. Jeff, you just made Erin blush, and you win.
If it wasn't, he just came in under the wire because I was going to title it, I'm 40.
That was fantastic. Oh, that was so good. And Erin gets to put the notes and type in the titles after every call. So thank you, Jeff. That was perfect. Erin, you're on that. It was so good. Okay. All right. I think it's time.
We are going to, one more thing, Jill. We're going to release our, Jill and I have been producing, hastily producing a much better polished version of our podcast, which is going to be released on iTunes next week. And I'm going to send an email to everyone asking that you rate it. And, even if you give it a 1-star, it's fine. Just rate it. And because it puts us in the rank, it really helps us out in iTunes if it gets ratings for the first few days. So I'll.
Cool. Like you could be the most, the highest. Yeah. The highest, lowest rated iTunes show. You got the most response, and they're all 1-star. Is there a prize for that?
It's like getting an angry call from a landowner.
Exactly. Yeah, you got the most negative feedback of everyone. Yay! Happy birthday, Claire, by the way. Yay! All right.
Jill, I've interrupted you enough times today.
Okay, everyone, have a great, great week, and I am so happy with the feedback and all the success stories, and I look forward to hearing more this weekend and next week, and catch up with everyone next Thursday. Anything else, Stephen?
Nope, thank you. Thanks, everyone.
All right, take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Join us in the next episode where Jill and I host our famous weekly membership call. Our Land Academy members share their stories, ask questions, and celebrate their success. If you have a question about how to buy property super cheap and sell it for more, let us know at 888-735-5045. Jill and I will try to get your message on the air. Every single month, we give away a property for free. No strings, No funny business. It's super simple to qualify. Two simple steps. Leave us your feedback for this podcast on iTunes. And number two, get the free ebook at landacademy.com. You don't even have to read it. Now go buy some property.